Hi, I'm Kathleen Gallagher.
Kathleen is Executive Director of the Milwaukee Institute, and I'm Tim Keane.
Tim is Founder and Director of Golden Angels Investors, and this is How Did You Do That? A show about successful entrepreneurs and how and why they succeeded. Roger Thrun founded WHR Group, Inc. in 1994 and grew the company from an appraisal management firm into a full-service global provider of employee relocation services for Fortune 500 companies and government agencies. Roger began his career over 25 years ago at Home Equity Relocation before leaving the company to found WHR Group, and he says to bridge the gap between affordable relocation solutions and high-touch customer service.
But to understand Roger Thrun, the businessman, it helps to understand Roger Thrun, the philanthropist.
It started when one of my sons had epilepsy, so I started to get involved with the local epilepsy foundation. And then unfortunately, I've had cancer four times over the last 10 years, and it's turned into kind of like a Jerry Garcia thing. You know, someone has to kind of step in. And I've just I'm a talkative guy, and I'm getting to know people going through my own health care. I've asked people, you know, what do you need? You know, what's the next step? And as I've learned more, there's been opportunities, and I've just filled those opportunities. I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of great people, and I've benefited from it personally.
So tell us a little about that.
I've had renal cell cancer four times over the last 10 years. I've had to go to bone, my pancreas, and to my liver. Probably my pancreas was probably the biggest deal. 2.5 years ago, I was in an operation for over 9.5 hours long. It was done by a guy by the name of Dr. Mark Trudy. He's now head of surgical oncology for pancreatic cancer at Mayo Clinic. What ended up happening is that every Thanksgiving, I write all my doctors a letter. And other people in my life just saying, hey, thank you so much for what you've done for me. I have a good friend who's an ER doctor at Aurora Summit, and it surprises me how people can be rude to doctors, frankly, when they're trying to help them. So every year I basically write a letter to doctors saying, here's what I've done with my life. You know, one kid, Rebecca's graduated, or maybe another one, Sean started college. And I tell them that I'm not wasting my life. And then the life that they've given me. At the same time, what I'm doing is I've decided, you know, 1 year after the pancreatic surgery, I thought, you know, I need to do something special for this guy. And I sent him a check. And then I got a phone call 4 days later. I didn't realize that he was actually really close to losing his funding for his lab. And then I started talking to him about, you know, what do you need? What's the next step? And he put together – I told him, just put together a little – business plan, and, you know, a couple pages, and of course I got 50 pages of presentation, and I started funding that out of my company quarterly. What ended up happening is we went from growing tumors in mice to tumors inside chicken embryo eggs. So we went from a 10-week gestation period to a 10-day period, and what it did is it allowed the doctors at Mayo to actually figure out what were the right cancer drugs to give a person a lot sooner so they didn't become sicker. And, you know, one of the nicest things I think that's been said to me this past year is he told me, he said, you know, it's because of you. There was a guy that we didn't know what to do for him, and he ended up spending Christmas with his family. At the same time, I mean, from my own personal situation, I went back and for my own post-op stuff for my last bout, and they found two first-line drugs that were totally curative in chicken embryos, which, you know, it's a big deal. It's a really, really big deal. A lot of it I don't understand, honestly.
Roger, a lot of the things you're saying about the way you treat your doctors, I think, translate into how you treat your 70 employees. Could you explain your attitude toward your employees and how you approach them?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with my mother. My mother had a women's dress store on the south side of Chicago. We were open 7 days a week, and we worked with the customer when the customer came through the door. And I just saw the way my mother interacted with her employees, and she treated people with kindness. You know, she has a saying that, you know, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. And, you know, my wife has a saying that to our kids about friends, you know, if you want to have a friend, you have to be a friend. And I think it's important that you show kindness and empathy. It's in the simple things. And One of the things I always try to do is treat people the way I'd want to be treated.
How do you encourage your employees to do customer service well?
because of my business and some employee relocation, it's the third most stressful thing that happens in someone's life after death and divorce. You need people that really care about someone else, that really want to answer that phone, not avoid the phone. I mean, we don't have voicemail during business hours. We're first relocation company, staffed office 7 days a week. First company to do a mid-process survey. And those are all simple things, honestly, that it comes back to my mother's retail experience. And, you know, not to be like Ed Koch. Remember, he used to walk around and say, how am I doing? But he didn't care. He just kind of kept going on. I actually care. You know, one of the things that bothers me is when you get a bad survey, it's like it could be something simple you could fix. So I think just, you know, good, simple communication.
So tell us how you got into this in the first place.
Oh, it's a mess. When I went to college, my father, who did not graduate from high school, said, you know, coming from an Irish Catholic background, basically they said, hey, you're going to a Catholic university. And my father said, lawyer, dentist, doctor. Those are your choices. Pick one. And I got into the accounting program at Marquette and hated it and started taking my accounting classes, but took some finance classes and then ended up graduating from Marquette and with a degree in business ed and a specialization in finance. And the richest guy in my neighborhood was a trader in the Eurodollar pit in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Got down there and I just hated it. And we ended up getting into a fight. And it's not very glamorous. After 3 months, I was out of there. And then I was looking at the want ads in the Chicago Tribune and it said Merrill Lynch relocation. I thought, well, I could become a stockbroker. I had no idea what relocation was when I interviewed that day. Honestly, after he offered me a job, I had no idea what it was. I just thought, okay, it's a job. And interest rates were high and I needed one. So I took it and it just kind of went from there.
Roger says he plied a coworker with cinnamon buns to teach him the ropes of relocation. He worked for Merrill Lynch for a year before jumping to a competitor. But the travel demands of the job began to wear on him and his family.
My mom at that time had my father had passed away and my mother had both knees and both hips replaced. And we had two kids under the age of two. And I was traveling so much that, you know, I'd come home and my daughter would cry in my arms. I hated it. You know, I was gone 80% of the time. And I thought, well, I need to do something different. And I had a national mortgage company approach me, wanted me to come do joint ventures for them. And I got over there and the boss, he and I did not meet eye to eyes for character type issues. And I ended up leaving after only about 3 weeks. And then what ended up happening there is I got a phone call from an old boss who said, hey, Kraft Foods bought General Foods. You know something about appraisals? I said, yep. And he said, why don't you go call Larry Gersh? I called up Larry Gersh and he said, I could really use your help. And he said, you know, I'd hire you as a consultant. I said, why don't we just go out for lunch? And he bought me we went to a hot dog stand, talked it over on a picnic table, and I ended up with a business. I didn't know it at the time. I thought I was just going to do some temporary work, honestly, until I figured out what I was really going to do and get around to doing my resume. Before I knew it, though, he was giving me so much work. I was making more money than I was before. And I was in the bedroom of my house and just it took off. And I talked with my wife and my mother and they said, yeah, I should keep going with this. It was hard the first year and a half. I mean, I had $41,000 in savings to my name. It took me a year and a half to take my first paycheck. We lived, you know, with two kids and a family of four on $38,000. We were down to our last three. We were talking about it earlier in the lobby. It's lonely as an entrepreneur. I mean, you really do have to protect your confidence. I think it's really important to have people around you that are believers in you. You know, I think having positive people with positive energy. I mean, we all know them. We have them in our lives. People that come to us, and you say, "How are you doing?" They give you the diatribe of everything that's bad, and you're like, "Oh my God, give me a razor blade." If I have to sit here for five more minutes, this is – I think when you're in business for yourself, you really – you need – not that you want to be Pollyanna about it, but you need to be able to say, hey, here's the things I've accomplished today and here's the things I'm going to do tomorrow. And you need someone to say, hey, you know what, Tim, that's great. That's great. And find good advisors along the way.
Roger's company, WHR Group, has grown to $25 million in revenue and serves 100 customers from the FBI to McDonald's. But Roger says it's not the clients that cause him to lose the most sleep.
The worst thing, you know, that kind of like when I feel the sense of responsibility is when we have the company picnic and I see all our employees and all their kids. And they think, all these kids got to go to college. These people need to make money. That's when I start to feel the pressure of, hey, we need to keep getting more sales.
You know, we haven't really talked about something that's important probably to our core listeners, and that's that you're in Wisconsin. You started the business in Chicago and after a year moved it to Wisconsin. Why?
My wife's from Neenah, Wisconsin, and we went to school at Marquette. I met her the first day here. And I really – the 4 years that I was here, I really enjoyed Milwaukee. I like Milwaukee a lot. I think that it, there's a lot of hardworking, nice people here. I think for a relocation company, when you're looking for – that's what I'm looking for is hardworking, nice people in – this, it was a good fit for me.
So, Roger, I've been in your office. There's all this interesting stuff. So tell us about these index cards that apparently you put under your phone a long time ago.
Sure. A good friend of mine, George Gans, he was the number one real estate broker in Kentucky. He sold his firm to Warren Buffett. He early on, he kept telling me, you know, it's about simplicity and knowing what you want and goal setting. And early on, I wrote down on the cards, you know, what's critical to our corporate customers. And for that, it was service delivery, cost management, accountability, reporting, and training. And in terms of – I also have keys to the to a good organization. For me personally, was execute and focus daily on critical issues, stay organized, well-focused, communication, planning, goals established, and morale. And I keep looking at this, and any business plan, anything that's put in front of me, any idea, I look at this and I say, how does it affect these items? Because this is what really affects our culture, and our culture is what keeps our customers with us.
The index cards are pretty small, but Roger's office also features something pretty large on the wall.
It's a painting by Reggie Baylor. I'm lucky enough to own it. It's above my – it's probably 4x6. It's called Ascending or Descending. It's actually shows a man, looks like he's doing the high jump. You can't tell if he's going up or down. And it's actually Reggie painted the backgrounds from his mother's house. And I look at that and I think to myself, am I going up or down personally, business? I mean, it's a visual cue. So between my cards and my painting, it kind of keeps me focused.
Roger, thanks so much for being here and sharing your story.
My pleasure.
You can read more about Roger Thrun's story and suggest ideas for future episodes of How Did You Do That at WUWM.com.
And be sure to listen to our other podcasts at the iTunes Store or wherever you get your podcasts.